Hi, we're from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. We're here today, as you can see from the press release, because something very disturbing happened here last week. And I want you to contrast this with when I left home this morning. I saw the headlines in the newspapers, and how Mayor Miller was beaming about how well everything in the city was going. And for us at Dundas and Sherbourne in this area, and for the men and women who pack these hostels every night, the reality has not changed. So what I want to start with is, last week on my way to work, there's a man who stopped me. He's actually just right there. He just lives in one of the social housing right there. Steve Voss stopped me. And he said somebody died at Maxwell Megan yesterday. And I hadn't heard about that. So what we did is myself and Barrick went out and began to talk to people about what happened. This was on Monday. We found out that on Monday afternoon, just after supper, that a young man had died. And as we began to talk to the man who were in the hostel, they told us about a story about an area of the hostel that had been shut down for a couple of days, maybe more, because police were investigating the death. The rumor is, and we don't know, the details, as we said in the, we don't know the cause of death. Their suggestion that this might have been a suicide, we don't know. What we do know is that, and we found this out through the coroner's office, is that the young man's name was, I'm sorry if I mispronounce this, Binayam Sureshi. He was 25 years old. This is the story that the city doesn't talk about. The fact that there are people dying in their hostels. On Thursday morning, when I was at work, I ran into the Colonel and Randy, and they told me, this is last Thursday, that Dennis had died. That police were out in front of 200 Sherbourne. And so we went out to find out what happened, and sure enough, it was all taped off. Forensics was there. And I talked to other people who said, yes, we saw some of his friends saying that they were trying to revive him. Dennis Bowen was a 42-year-old native man who we understand was staying at the Annex program at Seton House at the time. Someone went into the building, and he was in the hallway, he was in trouble. They brought him out, they had to call the cops, the ambulance, and he died. Dennis' funeral was last night. His families, his friends were there last night. There are some people are going to speak today that were there last night. Now, for us, again, these are deaths that we've brought to your attention today. The truth is that we have many other deaths every week that we hear about. Some of them you don't report on, some of them you do. Obviously, the most just recently, Paul Crouch trial just finished. Right behind here is where he was killed, beaten to death, Paul Crouch. So, just a couple more words, and I'm going to get Barrick German to speak, and then there's a couple of people from the streets here that are going to speak also. The city has said now for the last 2 years, when we asked them about homelessness, that they're housing people. Sometimes the number they throw around is 1,700 people. As they implement their Streets of Homes programs, they're shutting down hostels. Over 300 beds in the last 2 years. The latest to shut down, University Settlement, shut down another 65 beds, at least till October. Which means that these hostels now are overcrowded. And often people can't get in. There's the Good Shepherd down there, people turn away on a regular basis. The gateway is a waiting list most nights. And those people aren't getting housed and not getting taken care of. What is happening also is if when you're not here, these cops that you see right now are usually busy going through the downtown core giving out Safe Streets Act tickets at a rate of over 10,000 last year. The city says that the ticketing doesn't work, yet the city continues to do that. We hope that Mr. Miller will tell the cops to back off until people have housing and enough income, but it's not happening. But lastly, I want to look a little bit at this corner and understand a little bit what's going on in our community as our people are dying and not taken care of. We have, as you see, empty buildings right across the street here. The Canada House right now, which is going to be turned into a condo. If you look above there, there are rooms where men and women were staying. Cheap rooming houses. Rooms that were up there. The 24-hour coffee shop men and women were using on a regular basis, it's shut down. If you go further north here, you'll find three rooming houses that are being shut down. People are being displaced from this area. And right now what's happening, we are having people dying on the streets. Last week, two people. Many of us were around in 1996 when the city had to open up the Fort York Armories when the three men froze to death. What is the difference between 1996 and now? Dennis Bowen, 42 years old, native man. Mr. Selashie, 25 years old, from Ethiopia, dead.
There's your crack pipe.
Okay, you want to talk, Ken?
Here, so, David Mills.
Okay. So
I got the crack pipes.
I got a couple people going to speak right now. So Barrick Sherman is going to speak next, and then there's two or three people are going to speak to the press. Okay.
Yes, David.
Okay. Yeah. Just quick questions. Yeah.
Just a little bit more about Dennis Bowman. Where did he die exactly?
Dennis died in front of 200 Sherburn on the south side.
It's
a social housing building. It's run by Toronto Housing.
Okay.
Yes.
And you don't know, have any idea?
I don't have any indication. I mean, I don't need speculating. Obviously, people said that what they thought it might be, but I can't. I mean, obviously, you can go to the coroner, and if the coroner, we've asked the coroner will not tell us. So I wish I could tell you, but I have no idea.
Do you know how many homeless have died so far this year?
No, I don't have a count.
Okay, so why are you saying people are dying all of, you know?
Well, because we have this. I can go through a list. I mean, there's John, who died a couple months ago just in the colonel's house, him and his partner. This is a long list. I mean, I can go through a long list of people. All kinds. People will tell you that there are homeless people that will tell you. People are dying. People are being injured.
Dennis.
And there's a picture of Dennis right there. So people can see. This is a...
I'm a sister.
Okay. So his sister is here today.
Dennis.
Would you like to say a few words, or you okay?
Can we just ask you a little bit about him? And you brought his picture here today. Can you tell us a little bit about your brother?
Dennis was my world, and this was his world right here, Queen and Sherburne. And Dennis is like... I can't even believe he's gone. Like, look at this man. He's healthy looking, you know. He was a martyr to this community. He helped everyone that he could. And I'm just here to meet all the people that he believed are his people, you know. And they're my people, too. Anyone that belonged to Dennis belongs to me, you know. And I just want to be closer to my brother. I never knew that. I knew his lifestyle, but he chose that. But you know, he died happy, you know. He may have died in a certain way that we didn't like, but he did have his day in this world with people.
Do you know if he seeks shelter in a regular basis?
As you know, here in Queen and Sherburne, people seek shelter wherever they can, you know. And I've been down here in this area with Dennis many times. I'm from North Bay, but Dennis chose this life, you know, and it is something that we've is part of a native tradition also, you know. We all have this, we have a hurt inside of us. I do also, but we have a way we can control it. Dennis didn't have that, but he had his way, he had a smile all the time. And that smile, I hope, will bring this community together and help look after each other, you know, and let no one die alone, you know. I would love to see people help each other.
Do you know, did they tell you what happened to him, why he died?
It's not really clear. There's supposed to be an autopsy on Dennis.
Was he battling addictions, your brother?
Oh, yes. I will not deny that. Yeah. Definitely.
So it was alcohol, drugs, or?
No, they will not say. They have to. I have to wait till the autopsy, and they're saying 4 to 6 months. No, that's why I'm here. You're not taking 4 to 6 months to find out what happened to my brother. You know, no. You know that's wrong. you know, like anyone else dies in this country, right away to have an autopsy, you know. No, they're telling me 4 to 6 months. No.
How long was he in Toronto if he's from North Bay like you?
Dennis was adopted, and he found us 28 when he was 28 years old. And the only reason he found us, he had his birth certificate with his last name on it. And my sister had a store right across the street called Brave, and her proprietor last name was on there. And that's how Dennis found his family. And he was always lost all his life. He knew there was something missing, you know, and then he lost his mom, our mom. And once he found her, he lost her. So a lot of devastation came Dennis's way, right? And so I can't blame Dennis for what he has done in his life, but he has made a big impact on the community here. And I hope no one ever forgets him, you know, because a lot of people do forget. Don't ever forget Dennis, you know, because Dennis loves you all. Dennis does love you all, you know.
We loved him too.
Can you just tell us your name now?
My name's Debbie Panassi.
Can you spell it for us, please?
Last name Penasse.
Did he grow up in Toronto? If he was adopted out?
Mainly Lindsay, and he was here for at least 14 years he's been here in Toronto.
Do you think something could have been done to save you?
No, nothing could have been done to save him. This is the path he chose, you know. But I never stopped, I never gave up on him, I never said, you know, well, you do that, I don't talk to you. No, that's my brother. You know, you never give up on anyone. You never understand their past, what's happened to them. And there is a lot more to Dennis's story than anyone even knows, you know. Like, I will not tell people here, but I will tell close friends. Dennis did not have a good childhood. He never even grew up with me. We were very close, you know. When we first met, we never separated, you know.
How old are you if he's 42? Are you the older sibling?
I'm a little bit older.
Little bit. I was going to say younger. Could have been younger.
So we're going to... she's sticking around and stuff, so if there are more questions, we'll just have a few more speakers and we'll go. Okay, is that okay?
Thank you.
She's here, and people are welcome to ask her after.
I'm just here. I'm just feeling him right now.
Okay, thanks. Okay. So next speaker will be Barry German, just from the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee.
We have a long tradition here in this area of when somebody dies, we say something about it, and we do something about it. The Ontario Coalition Against Poverty and the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee and all of the people here have numerous times opened shelters when there was tragedy, when people died and when people were suffering. People wonder why we bring food. Well, people aren't getting good food. Shelters are full and have been filled full for a long time. And when they're full and when people are in the streets and they're hungry and in trouble, all kinds of stuff happens. I can remember in the late 1980s, Drina Joubert, a name people in this city might remember. And Drina froze to death. Well, then Drina had been drinking. Oh yeah, we know about drinking and drugs because there's a lot of pain around. And when there's a lot of pain around, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And there's death. So Drina froze to death. So there was a big controversy and they said, oh, you know, well, Drina had been drinking. And the rest of the people said, there is no controversy here. Somebody froze to death. And people protested in this area, and there were 3,000 houses brought in. In 1998, the same situation we have here today. A national disaster was declared across this country. And how did that happen? Because people here spoke out. And just to protest the day before it was declared a national disaster, we walked up this street and three people had died, and one man behind this shelter, the same shelter here where another young man has died, had hung himself from a tree. We know why these things are happening. When people live under these kind of conditions, death is the result. An illness before and then death. And we will speak and we will fight on. We'll not just let these things pass. Never. Thank you.
What's her name so we didn't get it?
Barrick German from the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee. Thank you.
Brian? So maybe, Brian, you can introduce yourself a bit.
Hi, I'm Brian. I've known Dennis for about 12 years. I was to his funeral last night, and Dennis was a very good person.
Keep it down. The kid is asleep. Okay. The baby's asleep. So take it. Take it somewhere else. Take it to your office. Take it to your office.
I have no office.
The
My office is outdoors
asleep.
Right now, too.
You have the same
large.
Right. But I'm saying,
what was
take
I going
to
say?
Take it to your office. I will not. I will not move.
Like I said, I've known Dennis for 12 years. He's been on the street with me off and on for the last 12 years. He was a good-hearted person, but he had addictions as well. All of us do. It's a coping strategy for a lot of us. We don't have housing, and you don't get in shelters. What do? You go out and get drunk and forget about it for the night. And I mean, shoving us out into Rexdale where we have no services out there, you know, shoving us way out into Scarberia where we have no friends, no services, no one to associate with, we end up back down here in 3 months anyway. So what's the point in putting us out there? You know, all they want to do is push all the homeless out of this area and develop it into all condos for this whole downtown. The poor are being pushed out of this area. It's in a poor area for 200 years in the city. And now since the rich want it, they're going to get it, I guess. And I mean, we're not going to give up that way. But I mean, it's a tough fight all the way along. And I mean, we've been fighting it tooth and nail now for 10 years. And we've had little wins, but we've had losses too. And we've had a lot of losses. This year alone, I can name like Jimmy, Dean, Steve, Dennis, Spaghetti Eddie, Sportscaster. They've all died on the streets down here this year. That's just a few that I can just name off the top of my head. So, I mean, this is not just one or two incidents. This is like every week here. I've gone to more memorials this year than I have any other year that I've been up here. And funerals. And it's getting disgusting. It's depressing me, too, because I'm wondering, am I going to be next? You have to wonder about that, because I am a drinker. I do smoke a little bit. So, you know, you kind of worry about yourself, too. But it's also the social connection down here. You know what? We may be poor, but we're all good friends. Like, Dennis played baseball. He lived to play baseball in the field right over here. And I mean, if he goes out into Rexdale, he knows no one out there to play baseball with. He's got no friends out there. He didn't hang around people for 10 years out there. He's got no support, like no social connection to other people. Down here, he's got Council Fire. He's got the ball teams, other Street Health, Seton House, Street Haven. Whatever hostel has a team in the league, he'd play for them all. So he just liked to play ball and have fun. And I mean, that's very important to have that social outlet too. You know, without that, you're just going to go off to Rexdale and die anyways. And I guess that's what the city wants us to do. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
So we have one last speaker. Yeah. That's very good.
Quick question. Other people were saying was battling addiction. What do you think, he had this group here, his family,
Well, you know what? A lot of us have addictions and we share our booze and our dope too. It happens all the time down here because you know what? That's all we got for each other.
So what could have prevented this, Dad?
We need better supportive housing here. And we need better housing and safe housing. You know what? Don't even say supportive housing. Let's just say safe housing, you know? You want hallways where you can walk in and not have to worry about you're going to be jumped.
Not today.
You know, you need places where you can just go and you can relax and be yourself. And you don't have to wonder who's going to be harassing me about buying drugs or owing money or all this stuff. It's going on all the time around here, and it's worse in other areas. Better the devil I know downtown here than the devil I don't know in Rexdale.
Okay, so we're going to have our last speaker,
seriously,
folks, and that's it. So, Carl, if,
I can't cope without there.
If you can come up.
Try to send me out to Rexdale, it's ridiculous. Okay. I know no one out there. I don't know what the gangs are like out there. I don't know. It's just too intimidating for me. I'm too old to even try to start over out there.
Here's our last speaker, Brian. Carl, so Carl also lives in the shelter right now, so.
Yes, hi there. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I was an activist years back from Tent City, and we were fighting for housing, and we have to continue fighting for housing because hoarding the people together in a shelter with no care and nothing, this is not a solution. I mean, we are in the year 2008, and people been treated like animals. I mean, this, we are human beings. So we have to get affordable housing for the people and not hoarding them together in a corner and just feed them a slice of bread. We are no animals. I mean, we need really affordable housing. And now they ripped out the Regent Park and everything. And what's happened? Nobody from the people who are living there can live there again because the rent going to be five times more. I mean, there is no affordable housing. What's going to happen? And the crisis is getting bigger and bigger. So, gentlemen, we have to do something against it. Seriously. Thank you.
Okay, folks. So, we're going to end our protest right now. And some of us, by the way, some of us know Kevin really well, by the way. Kevin, many of us know Kevin. Kevin knows us, by the way, also. He knows us also. And Kevin has his issues. And it's tough, you know, it's tough. We have to... So I'm going to end now. We're not going to go anywhere today. This is going to end here today. Down the road, what we need to go back to Miller and ask him to make sure that people have housing and enough income to live on. We need the mayor to speak about these stories. These are not the things that he wants to talk about. So I want to thank everybody for coming out. And I'll just end by saying to Dennis Bowen, to the family of Dennis Bowen, that he touched our hearts. It was clear from the friends that he had that people loved him. He always had a smile for somebody, and it's really, really disturbing. When people ask, well, could this be an event, you know, can we avoid this, et cetera, you know. This was somebody's brother that we saw on Thursday. This was somebody's brother, Dennis, on the ground, and we're watching medical people trying to revive him. When you go to Rosedale and Mount Forest, that's not how people die there. And when we go in Maxwell Megan and people tell us about areas shut down, about this young man that died, he had a family also. And those are the stories. And it's hard for us who are here, and it's also hard for people who live in those shelters. Because you know what? Somebody took that young man's bed on Monday. Somebody else filled that bed that night. And someone at Seton House is going to take Dennis's bed that night. And that's the way it goes. And when somebody goes in that bed, the person next to him will say, you know what? The guy who was in that bed last night, he died last week. So you know where you are when you lay down now. And you understand where you are. You're either in the city of Mr. Miller that says everything is okay, or you're in Dundas at Sherburn with, 20 cops today maybe? We'll make sure that... Well, they'll make sure that they know that they're there. Either through a ticket, a little bit of internal harassment, maybe. Okay, so thank you for coming.